Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Two great processions meet outside of the city gates, the city of Nain. The gates of cities were the places of commerce, of great discussions. It's where wives in Proverbs are praised. It's where the prophets go to speak the word of God. It is where the great Shema, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, shall be put on their gates as a reminder of who God is and what he has done for them. The city gates lock out that which is foreign to that particular city. It keeps that which is inside safe and sound. But at these city gates, something else happens. There, the great, unflinching procession of death is met by a crowd and procession led by the Lord of life. What will happen when these two great crowds meet one another? There you have Jesus going to this unknown town that we don't even know where it exists to this day. He is entering into this town with all of his disciples, a great crowd following with him. He is met by another great crowd. The great crowd that Jesus has with him is just coming off of another great miracle. The healing of the centurion's servant, the one who was near death. Perhaps the throng within Jesus' crowd and his procession was one of jubilance. As they left, they praised God, Luke tells us. They had never beheld someone who had this kind of authority. The procession coming out of the city of Nain had a very different sound. The bearers of the bier, they were silent. The crowd didn't even seem to say much or do anything but follow. It is the cries of the mother that ring out. This is not just weeping, the kind of weeping that we have when we are or feel sorrow over some kind of loss. This is uncontrollable wailing. It is akin, perhaps, to when a child suddenly falls down into a pool, gets his face wet, or is riding his bike for the first time and falls. Though he is not hurt, he is scared. Though there is nothing bleeding, he is completely frightened. And he wails, almost uncontrollably. And mom or dad has to say, "You are okay. Stop wailing." What this woman was afraid of, we are not exactly told, but we can draw conclusions from what we are told. She is a widow, and now her working age son is gone as well. How will she survive? What will happen how am I going to get to the next day, let alone the next week or month or year? She is scared. To be sure, she is also sad. But I think here, by the use of this word for wailing, the evangelist is telling us a bit more. That she has given in to not just sorrow, for we should all mourn over those whom we have loved and lost, but she has given in to fear. And that is why Jesus rebukes her. Stop wailing. The force of the word stop is just not like stop for a bit. It means don't continue to do this. Perhaps our Lord was moved by seeing this woman because he saw in her an image of his own mother, who at this time is likely widowed, and who too, in the future, which Jesus knows, will lose her only begotten son. Perhaps he is moved by where this woman is and the fear that she has to step into the breach, to meet that incessant, almost seemingly unstoppable procession of death, and to stop it in its tracks. Jesus says, stop wailing. Stop crying. And it is so. Then he touches the bier, the place on which this dead man was carried. And he speaks to him. Young man, I say to you, arise. We are told that he immediately arises and begins to speak himself. The crowds that are with Jesus, they rejoice again. God has visited his people. A great prophet has arisen among us. And he is in the city gates. He has visited us. I think it can be easy for us to think that they, back then, when Jesus walked upon the earth, had it better than we do. They were able to interact with Jesus face to face, and that he would be there and actually raise their dead right in front of their eyes, that they had the miracles. That man died again, that young man. So did the mother. They all need what Jesus would do when he goes to Jerusalem, when he gives his life as a ransom for those who are in the chains of sin and death and hell. Even Mary, the mother of our Lord, would need what Jesus would accomplish by his cross: the forgiveness of sins. And where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. The point that I'm trying to make is that they did not have it better then. We are blessed even more. Then Jesus had to be present in the flesh locally. If he was in Nain, he could not be in Tuscola. If he were in Tuscola, he could not be in Nain. Now, since he is risen from the dead, since he has ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father, he is making himself present whenever you hear his word and whenever you eat or drink his body and blood. And he is not just there present with you so that you can reach out your hand and touch his garment. He takes up residence within you and goes with you. Do not think that they had it better then. Because that son perhaps buried his mother and was looking forward to that resurrection on the last day. In other words, death is not the end of the story. It's not the last word, precisely because Jesus is raised from the dead. And while we do not mourn without hope because we trust in that beautiful message of the resurrection of all flesh on the last day, we do still mourn. We remember those who we love and have lost, and we desire to be with them again. And for all of those who have died under the sign of faith, that is, for all of those who believed and trusted in the message that Jesus died and rose again for them, they are waiting for you in that great reunion in eternity. So do not wail. Do not give in to the fear or the extreme sadness of not having them with you now. Because Jesus is raised from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, there is a great family reunion in the works. And it is to that which we look forward, that we are eager for, perhaps even long for. So do not wail. Mourn, weep, but do not wail in fear. Because Jesus is seated at the right hand, he has not left you as orphans. He has promised to come back. And he is reigning over all of history, everything that happens, and using it for your good. So instead of wailing in the midst of even sorrow, think of the joy that shall be yours when you gather together around the throne of the Lamb who was slain but lives. Think of that joy, even in the midst of sadness. Think of the joy that shall be yours and all the saints' joy when we are taken from this veil of tears to live with him for eternity in the places that he has prepared for us by his blood. Think of that joy. And do not be afraid. Because Jesus is raised and he is coming back. And he will say, Christians, I say to you, arise, and you will. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.